Morning. Today's daf in Me'ila is daf Yud Zayin. We're at the Mishnah. The fourth parak of Me'ila, we've been on it for a couple days, and this will be kind of our last day of it. I'll leave off the last Mishnah for tomorrow. But the topic of discussion over the course of this parak has been tziruf, combination. And we're talking about different things combining with one another. Well, we talked about it in the opening Mishnah of the fourth parak because we talked about how Kachib is Bech and Kachib is Gabayt and Mitztarif. They combine so that if I have a chatzi pruta of kachim kambayis mixed together with the chatzi pruta of kachim mizbeach, they will combine so that I will now be on the hook for the penalty of mi'ila because I had a full pruta worth of enjoyment of kodesh. We then went on, and the Mishnayos then digressed to other topics that are mitzarif. We talked about various forms of truma that are mitzarif. We talked yesterday about nevel being mitzarif. We talked about shkatzim being mitzarif. And now we talk about dam sheretz v'abasar, the blood of a sheretz and the blood, and the basar of a sheretz are going to be mitzarif. Now we are going to be talking today primarily about tuma. Now again, let's go back over what we said over yesterday. What we know is that there are eight shratzim that give off tuma. One and a sheretz is dead, so it's going to give off tuma. This little animal. We don't know, we're not 100% sure what the eight shratzim are. We kind of have an idea, right? And one of them is a tzav. In modern Hebrew, a tzav is a turtle. Hard to imagine that we're talking about a turtle, but in other words, that kind of animal, right? A weasel, a mole, a lizard, halta'a. Okay, whatever they actually are. But nevertheless, these different shratzim are going to give off tumah. Now, let's put this in a certain context. Meaning, let's start off with the nevel of an animal. Nevel of an animal is the source of tumah as well. Now, but we know by the nevel of an animal, what is going to give off tumah has to be basar. Meaning, it has to be the flesh of the nevel of an animal. Right, bone of a nevela and blood of a nevela don't give off tumah. It has to be specifically the basar.
Kazayas
basar of a nevela, a nevela of an animal, I don't think gives off tumah. I don't think so. So when we talk about a human, so then blood's going to give off tumah as well. But even in a human, though, the blood and the flesh are different than one another, meaning the shear is different. Meaning flesh of a human remains, is going to be metame with a kazayas. Blood of human remains is only going to be metame with a revius. So the blood and the flesh are two different items. Okay, when we talk about these shratzim, we're basically going to unify the blood and its flesh. Meaning, we're not going to make any type of distinction whatsoever when we don't compartmentalize. They really are one and the same. And this could be most clearly illustrated by that first line of the Mishnah. Meaning, the Mishnah reads, Dama sheretz v'abasam etzarfin. That if I have this sheretz, and I have blood in the meat. Now, how much sheretz do I need in order to become tamei? Not a lot. Only an adasha. Only the size of a lentil. So it's a very small amount. But the point the Mishnah is making is that if I have a chatzi shear of meat and a chatzi shear of blood, they combine to get you to that point, which basically means that in the world of sheretz, blood equals meat. Meat equals blood. They're one and the same, categorically. So the Mishnah says, Dama sheretz v'abasa mitzarfin, zeim zeh, klal amar Rav Yehoshua, kol shetumas v'shira u'shavin, mitzarfin. So Rav Yehoshua says, here, I'll give you a rule. In other words, in terms of tumah, it's very simple. If the degree of tumah and the amount of tumah are equal, they're going to be mitzarif. However, tumas v'lo shi'uro, if the degree of tumah is the same, but the shear is not the same. If the shear is not the same, but the degree is the same, mitzarfin. Tumas v'lo shi'uro, shi'uro v'lo tumaso. Lo tumas v'lo shi'uro, ain't mitzarfin. However, if you're not playing on the same playing field, if there are differences, either in the degree of tumah or the amount of tumah, so then they're not going to be mitzarif. So let me illustrate all this with examples. I'm just going to use all Rashi's examples. So Rashi says, let's take the following as a series of examples. The second Rashi in the Mishnah, Rashi says, tumas v'lo shi'ura. Well, let's say the degree of tumah is the same, but not the shear. So Rashi says, I'll give you an example, sheretz v'nevela. Let's say I combine together sheretz and nevela. Now again, nevela, we're talking about the remains of a carcass of an animal. Okay, I think that was a little redundant. But anyway, the carcass of an animal getting mixed together with sheretz, one of the shmona shratzim. Now, as far as the degree of tumah is concerned, they're the same. Meaning, I touch either one of them, it's an avatumah. I will be tamei until this evening. I have to tovel the mikvah today. I wait, Herav Shemesh, and by this evening, I will be Tahor. So in terms of how much tumah they're actually going to transmit, it's the same. They're both an avat tumah. However, the amount is going to be different. V'nevela de tumas m'shavin d'shneim havin tumas erev. V'lo shi'ur de nevela shi'ur tumas b'chazayis v'sheret b'chadasha. But when it comes to nevela, so it's a full kazayis. You need to touch a full kazayis of carcass, animal carcass, to become tameh. By sheret, you only need to touch an adasha, so it's not the same amount. Therefore, they don't combine. So if I have a half a kazayis of nevela, mixed with, let's say, a half a kazayis, that's a little bit strange because once I have a half a kazayis, I probably have an adasha. But you get the basic idea. If I have less than a shear of nevela with less than a shear of sheretz, they do not combine. Next example, Rashi. Velo tumaso kigon nevela sumeis. Let's say mixed together is human remains with animal remains. And neither of them have a requisite amount. By a human, it's a kazayis. By an animal, it's a kazayis. Shear is the same. The amount is the same. But the degree of tumah is not the same. When I touch nevela, I'm tameh harav shemesh until only this evening. If I touch a mace, human remains, 7 days. And even when we say 7 days, we mean 7 days. That's only if you have the paraduma. But still, 7 day tumah, right? Minimum. Okay, so there again, so the shear is the same, but the degree of tumah is not the same. And then lo tumasa v'lo shear, this is kind of like a no-brainer at this point in time. This isn't much of a chiddush now, but let's say I have human remains in sherets mixed together, so that the two of them now combine for a shear, so for sure they don't combine, because now you're missing on both. The degree of tumah is not the same. Sheretz is only until the evening. Mace is for 7 days. And the amount is not the same. Sheretz is an adasha. And mace, human remains, is a kazayis. Fine. Zehaklal, this is a general rule. So we have now in front of us a good rule in terms of tumahs getting mixed together. Now, Amar Rav Chanin, Amar Rav Zeiri. Now here, as I mentioned from the beginning of the Masechta, one of the challenges of Me'ila is that it's fraught with a lot of just reading issues. Girsa, and what is the correct girsa over here? It seems to be that we're missing an entire word from the Gemara over here, which is a critical word, meaning it's the word that is actually making the point. So Amar Rav Chanan, Amar Rav Zeira. Now, what word is missing over here? Uvo. Right? You could look in the Shita Mekubetzas. Os Chav Zayin. No, sorry. Os Lamed Zayin. Apologize. And he writes, the Shita writes in Os Lamed Zayin, Kamo Shigaris Rabbeinu Nisim, Gaon Degaris Amar Rav Chanin Amar Rav Zera Uvo. Right, that's important. It's an important word missing from the Gemara. What does that mean, Uvo? Uperish, I'm reading on in the Shita. Amar Rav Zeira, Ha'amora, Ve'hasofrim Ta'u, Min Zeira. Now, the ones who are copying down the Gemara made a mistake. Writes the Shita, Shu Amor Vikasvu Vodam Bosh Sarh Shu Oso Hadam Shabasa Natla Mimenu. Okay? So fine. So in other words, our Mishnah says, okay, I don't want to get too caught up in this issue of the Girsa, but it's important though, because you're actually missing a word from the Gemara. The word from the Gemara. But the point, however, goes like this. That our Mishnah says that the sheretz, meat and blood mix together in order to get to your shear. Right? How much you have to touch of a sheretz in order to become tameh, an adasha, the size of a lentil bean. Blood and meat combine. Our Gemara's first point on the Mishnah is that it has to be the blood that comes from the meat. Right? The same blood coming from the same sheretz. Okay. Now, we have in our Gemara, the next word we have in our Gemara is the word v'chein. Let's make a correction in the Gemara. Not v'chein, but rather mesiv Rabbi Yossi b'Rabbi Chanina. Okay, again, it's a big difference. Meaning, no longer are we now supporting, but we're going to be attacking. Okay, again, I told you from the beginning. This is the challenge of Me'ila. Fine. So, mesiv Rabbi Yossi b'Rabbi Chanina. Ha, tamei malam yishem et starfin. So good. So we have the drasha. Right, we go back to Parsha Shmini. We quote the pasuk Hatameim when the Torah introduces us to the Shratzim. It says the Tameis, and Rashi says that the whole word is superfluous. We don't We didn't need the whole word to begin with. So ve'afilu, but let's read on in the Braisa. Here's the important part. Ve'afilu sheretz v'sheretz. Sheretz v'dam. Be'mishem echad, be'mishnei shemos. Meaning, and to get to that shear of an adasha, you can do any combo package you want. You can combine the remains of one sheretz together with the remains of a different sheretz, even if they're not even the same animal. Meaning, as long as they're one of the eight. Okay, so let's, rather than giving you names, which I don't even remember all eight right now off the top of my head, plus, even if I did, I don't know what they are, let's just call them one through eight. Right? I'll just give each one a number. So I have a half an adasha of one, mixed up with a half an adasha of seven, or whatever combo you want, it doesn't matter. The Braisa says they're going to combine. And again, go back to the Braisa one more time. And I can have mixtures of sheretz and dam. And presumably what the Braisa means is the dam doesn't have to come from the same animal. As long as I have any combination of any part of the sheretz, including the blood, I will get to the shear of an adasha. So says the Braisa, and that's a challenge, because we opened up the Gemara by saying that our halach of the Mishnah of Tzirif is only when the blood comes from this sheretz, and meanwhile, now it comes out that you can have, according to the Braisa, any combination you want, and you'll get to the shear. So that's a challenge. Am Rav Yosef lo kasha kam bekulo kam bemiksaso. So Rav Yosef says there is no stira, there's no contradiction. We're taught the differences between kulo versus miksaso. Okay. Now, what does that mean? So the Gemara is very, very unclear. What does it mean? Kam bekulo kam bemiksaso. So Rashi and Tosfos both offer the following pshat. I'm going to say it over outside. And then we'll talk about the issues with this pshat. But basically, the pshat of Rashi and Tosfos go like this. We have now learned that if I touch an adasha of a sheretz, I'll become tamei, and if I touch an adasha of the blood of a sheretz, I'll become tamei. And furthermore, we've learned that I can mix the two together, and that will get me to the shear of an adasha. Okay. When the Gemara starts off with the statement of Rav Chanin, he says, no, but the blood has to come from this particular sheretz. If it comes from a different sheretz, it's no good. Meaning it won't combine. So, and then the Gemara quoted a Braisa, and the Braisa says, any combination package will work. Okay. What Rav Yosef says is like this. Look, if I have a little piece of sheretz coming off of, let's call it sheretz number one, and I have a little piece of sheretz coming off of sheretz number two, so the Braisa says that they combine. What Rav Yosef now is saying is, that's true, but they have to come off of an entire sheretz. Meaning that if I take off a piece, that little piece is significant only if it comes off an entire sheretz. And if I take a piece off of here, that piece is only significant if it comes off an entire sheretz. That's what Rav Yosef says when it means when he says the words kulo. Or, if I have a little bit of blood coming off here, this blood will be significant only if it comes off an entire sheretz. And the same thing is true over here, meaning if I have a little piece of meat, the meat will only be significant if it comes off an entire sheretz. So now if I have blood and meat getting together, mixing together, they will combine, but only if each one is coming off an entire sheretz. Okay. Now, why? So Rashi explains, Tosfos really quotes Rashi. Rashi explains the reason why is because when it comes off of an entire sheretz, it's chashav, it has significance. It's not just a little bit of sheretz, but in other words, it's a little bit of sheretz, but really emanating from an entire sheretz. So therefore, it's significant. Therefore, when I take the two together, even though they're coming from two separate sheretzim, they will combine to get you to my shear, to the shear of an adasha. However, that's kan bekulo. What's kan bemiksaso? Let's say all I have over here is the tail of a lizard. And then I break off a piece of the tail of the lizard. And over here, I have a toad. Okay, let's assume that a toad is one of the Shemona Shratzim. I don't even know. But let's just assume. And I break off a little bit of the toad leg. And from that toad leg now, I break off a little piece. So now I have pieces of pieces. That doesn't combine to get you to the point of Adasha. The only way pieces of pieces combine is only if they're coming off the same piece. But if I take a little bit from here and a little bit from here, and what they're coming from is not an entire sheretz, but rather only a portion of a sheretz, only a limb of a sheretz, then they don't combine. Rashi says that's the pshat in Rav Yosef's answer of kam bekulo kam bemiksaso. Okay, now hopefully I try to present it well. I know because what he doesn't like. I understand. I start off by first presenting Rashi. That is Rashi's pshat. Tosfos, I'll read you the line if I can find it. Tosfos does not like it. I'll tell you what. It's Tosfos. This entire discussion is in Tosfos, starting with Amar Rav Chanan, continuing on into Vaha Amar Rav Yochanan. In fact, it really shouldn't be a new Divrei Maskil because it's all one continuous discussion. Tosfos quotes this whole pshat that I just offered to you. The Od Kasha, 1, 2, 3, 4 lines after the lines of Tosfos get wide, and he writes, Me'echitesa haichiluk debekulu mitzaso. Tosfos simply writes, I don't understand. Meaning, what difference does it make whether it comes off from a whole piece, a whole sheretz, or comes off of a part of a sheretz? Kaven de'ika revis. Mali ba mimei shale, mali mimei chaser. Now, Tosfos over here is commenting on the Gemara, which we haven't seen yet inside, but it's okay. In other words, we could use this question over here. It's the same basic idea. Tosfos says, I don't understand. Do you have a little bit of sheretz here? You have a little bit of sheretz over here? What difference does it make whether it came from a whole animal or just a limb of an animal? It doesn't make any sense. So, it's difficult. It is a difficult...
You know, so part of it could be that if it's a part of a part, you may not be able to identify and verify that it's from one of those eight.
I hear you, and I understand what you're saying. I don't think Rashi's working with that kind of assumption. I think Rashi, and again, this is me talking, I think Rashi believes that fundamentally, once it doesn't come from a whole, it doesn't have significance. I mean, Rashi does use that language of chashivas, that this is a function of it not being chashiv, when it comes off part of a, when it comes off, the, when the piece just came off a limb.
But the critical thing here is that it has to be one of those eight.
I understand that. I just don't know. I don't think Rashi is operating with that kind of thought process. Okay. Fine. And then, now, Tosfos says, I'm going to offer you now a different pshat. And Tosfos says, and my pshat works a little bit smoother. Lekach nireb. 6 lines down after the lines get wide. Yeah, kamosh perish Rabbeinu Nisim gone, and so therefore I'm going to give you the pshat of Rabbeinu Nisim. The Garstina Amar Rav Chanin Amar Rav Zera perish Amar Rav Zira Amar Rav was it Amar Rav Yochanan? Right. Sarach shehe also adam also sheretz shabasan nivdal mimenu klamar aval dam shesheretz zayin umitzarf im baser sheretz acher val zeh parach mehi shembei shemus dekamer behejit demitzarf vafal pisha by me beishratzim umishani. And the Gemara's answer is kambikul kamim sasso perush. And this is now Tosfos's preferred pshat and the pshat offered by Rabbeinu Nisim. Had the kamaraz and the mitzvah from Alfagav Dabai Mishnei Shratzim Kigon, Shinaga Bikulo, Bedam of a Basar. If they're sourcing from two different Shratzim, so then I have to touch Kula. What does that mean? I have to touch all of it. All of it here simply means both of it. Meaning that, yes, Dam of one Sheretz and Basar of another Sheretz combine. It's true. And they'll get you to the shear, that's also true. But because they come from two different animals, so my contracting of tumah will only occur if I touch both of them. Now, even that pshat is also not, in other words, you need to think about that. I need to think more about that. Why necessarily I need to touch both of them? Meaning, if they do in fact combine, so can't you just simply argue, we have now a source of tumah, and what difference does it make which part of it I touched? The bottom line is I touched it. Okay, so it does require more thought in terms of why this should be, but this is what how Tosfos understands what the word kula means. Kula means I touch both of them. However, if the blood's coming from this particular sheretz, so now. It's one entity. It's one unit. And so therefore, it doesn't matter what I touch. I touch the dam, I touch the sheretz, it doesn't matter. It's all one unit, and therefore, touching even just a part of it will convey tumma to me. Okay, that is Tosis' second pshat. Not his second pshat, sorry. He quoted, really, his first pshat is really Rashi. It's just all a long citation of Rashi. He argues, and this is what he offers as the pshat. Okay.
It makes sense, because when they say mitzafim, what does that mean? The blood and the meat. How does that mix? How does that...
Right.
That's still going to be separate, right? It's not going to be together.
Right.
So if it's two shlots, and you got to touch each one.
Right.
If it's one...
Okay, very good. Uminat Tamer. Now, how do I know this is so? So let's... From this point forward now, let's go forward in the Gemara with Tosfos' pshat. Okay? Fine. And so therefore, what we're now saying is, look, tumas combine. And the blood and the sheret, and the blood and the meat of a sheret, even if they're coming from two different shrusim, will combine. Let's assume all that's correct. And the only difference now is how much of it I need to touch. Do I need to touch some of it, or do I need to touch all of it? Now what Rav Yosef is going to do is say, look, I'm right. And I'm going to show you how I'm right. Mission Olos. Now, as we mentioned already, human remains, you become tamei. If it's flesh of human remains, you need a kazayis to become tamei. If it's the blood of human remains, you need a revius. Okay. And the Mission Olos discusses the following scenario. Blood of human remains spilled on the floor. And the floor was on a kapatris, which means it was on an incline. So you know what happened. So the blood now is going to spread out. Okay. Now, you come into contact with the tumma either by touching the blood, by carrying the blood, or remember, we're talking about human remains, meis adam, so it could also be ohel. Now, ohel in this particular case means that not that you were under the same roof as the blood, but you actually were on top of the blood. Meaning ohel also works when you yourself hover over the blood. Okay, now, Nishbach al ritzba vayam mekama mekapatris, el al miksaso tahor. If you're only over some of the blood, meaning let's say your hand is only on top of, remember, tuma of a mace just shoots right up. So if it's over some of the spill, so you'll be tahor. Ehel al kulo tame. But if you're able, let's say you put your entire body over the spill. Now it's not a big spill. We're talking about a revius. We're talking about 4 ounces. Approximately. It's not a lot. If you're able to cover the entire area with your body, you're over the top of the entire area, your tummy. Now, now, again, more gears to issues. This doesn't belong here. Yeah. Okay. We skip a line of Gemara. Now, let's say you have exactly a revius of blood, and you mix the revius of blood, so you're tahor. What? Why should that be? So, as Rashi points out over here, because when you mix a revius of the blood, you're going to be mixing it with a spoon, and Rashi writes, E efsher shelo yael ella al kulo ketani tahor also hamagiz bo ve'amai. In other words, even though right, you will be mahil over the entire cup of blood that you mixed, and you mixed a revius of blood. So let's try to see if we can get clarity on this issue. Meaning, we have two cases over here: one where there was a spill on the outside on an inclined floor, and so therefore it spread out. And on one hand, we said that if you are ma'ahil, if you now are over all the blood, you're going to become tamei. Meanwhile, we have a similar case where I'm mixing blood of revius of blood, and even though I'm ma'ahil over the entire revius of blood, I'm going to be tahor. Okay, so how does that work?
Maybe you're not
ma'ahil.
Your hand is
dipping. Okay, so ela lash mamina kam bekulo. So what we're going to have to do, this is now Rav Yosef continuing making his argument, is we're going to have to make a distinction between those two cases. And the distinction we're going to make is very similar to what we previously said. Kan b'miksaso, kan b'kulo, which means, it depends, unless, again, let's go now with Tosus's preferred pshat. It depends how much of you touch. If you touch just some of it, so then you're going to be tahor. If you touch all of it, so then you're going to be tummy. Shmamina. So therefore, you see that distinction is in fact correct. The difference between touching some of it versus touching all of it. So now when I have sheretz and dam getting mixed together, so if it all comes from the same sheretz, so then I don't have to touch all of it. But if it's a pieces of sheretz and dam from other ones coming together, then I have to contact all of it in order to become tummy. Similar, now this is so interesting because think of the comparison we're making. We're not really talking about Negiah, we're talking about Ohel. But I guess what we're going to say in order to understand this comparison is that Tumas Ohel works with the same mechanism as Negiah, so that now if I'm mahil over blood, I have to be mahil over all the blood. Being mahil over some of the blood doesn't work. Why not? Because, again, let's assume Ohel works in the same vein as Negiah. Because I have to touch all of it. In other words, touching some of it is not going to be enough. Especially when the blood is spread out. So now it's not one unit anymore. It's all over the place. And so now I have to actually come into contact with all of it. Masha ain kain, in the case where I'm stirring, and I'm only being mild over some of it, so then I'm going to be tower.
Okay.
Right. He tries. Yeah, I understand. I explained all this according to Tosos. Rashi will say that, and Rashi does in fact say, that the difference is whether the blood came from an entire human remains,
right,
or the blood just comes from part of a human remain. Okay, so, no, I mean, Rashi stays true to his pshat. Okay. I promised you a little bit of Agadata today, and here it comes. And here it comes, by the way. I know sometimes Agadata sounds a little bit from a different dimension. Okay, this one is going to really come at us from a different dimension. Shal Rabbi Masya ben Charash es Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai. Okay, we're in the Omer. We're only a week away, a little bit more.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Oh, From the Yurt side of the Rashbi. So this whole Agadata today will revolve around the Rashbi.
Wow.
So Rabbi Masi ben Charash is Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai, Be'ir Romi, Minayin Ladam Shratzim Shu Tameh. How do I know that Dam Sharetz is Tameh? Meaning, as I point out from the very beginning of today's daf, meaning we're so used to, especially by animals, Basar being Tameh. We're not used to this idea of Dam being Tameh. Dam is Tameh by human remains, but not by animal remains. And meanwhile, when we get to the Sharetz, we don't make any distinction between the blood and the meat. They're all the same. How do I know that? So, Amalei Damakra, Vizelachem Atameh. So, he quotes the drasha, Vizelachem Atameh. Now, it's a drasha. How exactly the drasha works, I'm not 100% sure. Rashi, again, I quote Rashi, who cry miyusar, who? Lidrasha. Rashi says that the whole pasuk is superfluous. Rashi says, the pasuk says, Atameh Lachem. So, okay, so it's a superfluous pasuk. It's a drasha. For the time being, let's just leave it like that. V'zelachem atameh. Amr lo tamidav. So the students said, now students over here, sorry, this Rashi says that these are the students of Rabbi Masya asking their Rebbe, Rabbi Masya. Meaning, remember the sequence. It's Rabbi Masya asking the Rashbi, Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai, how do I know that blood of Sheretz gives off Tuma? He quotes a drasha. And now, apparently, he's reporting it over to his students, and now the students are asking Rabbi Masya. Chachem le ben Yochai? Wow, he's so smart, meaning the Rashbi knows how to make such drushas. Now, I don't fully understand how impressive that drusha is, which just shows my insensitivity, meaning I'm not following what makes this drusha so remarkable. Okay, but that's...
No one else knew.
Apparently. But for reasons that I don't fully understand, it was a very impressive drasha, and so I'm sorry. Chacham le ben Yochai Amar lahem Tamar Aruch b'fiv Shav Rabbi Lazar b'Rav Yosi. So he says to them, "What do you mean? This already comes to us through Rabbi Lazar b'Rav Yosi." And then he tells the story of how he knows that this drasha comes through Rabbi Lazar b'Rav Yosi.
Rabbi Lazar is his son,
Rashi's
son.
Huh? No. Rabbi Lazar b'Rav Yosi. He's the son of Rabbi Yosi. Okay, Shepam Achaz Gazra Machus Gzera Shaloy Yishmur Shabbos Shaloy Molos Bnei Vshiyivaluas Anidos. So the Romans came out with the following decrees: three decrees. Number one, not to keep Shabbos. Number two, not to give a milah to their sons. And number three, they should be bol nida. Now, probably what that means is close the mikvahs, meaning they didn't, they can't instruct the husbands to have tashmish with their wives who are nida. So probably more to the point is that they basically banned the use of the mikvah. Halach Rabbi Reuven ben Astroblai v'siper komi. So now there's going to be basically two plans in terms of how to repeal the Roman ban. So there's the first plan. Now I'm sure we could have a lot of discussions in terms of the propriety of the plan, but right now I'm just going to say it over in the Gemara, and then I'll let us afterwards try to figure out how appropriate this idea was. Okay, so plan number one was to send out, and I'm not sure even if he was actually sent or he did this all on his own. Sounds like from the Gemara is that he did this all on his own. Halach Rabbi Reuven ben Astrubli v'siper komi. So first he got a haircut, he got a Roman haircut. Now Rashi describes it, it's bald in the front, they leave hair in the back, and apparently this was the Roman way of grooming your hair. And now, interestingly enough, it's Rabbi Reuven ben Astrobli. So, guessing on my part, in other words, the father clearly has a Roman name. So, could be there's significance to that. So now he's sitting in the Roman Senate and he's making now the following arguments, and they're good arguments. You want your enemies to be wealthy or poor. So Amar lo, yeah, what do you mean? We want our enemies to be poor. So Amar lahem, im kein lo yasu malacha b'shabbos, kidei sheyanu. So in other words, what did you do? You gave them the 7-day work week? So he says, listen to me, people. Give them a 6-day work week, so they'll be less productive, and they're going to earn less money. And they'll be poorer. Okay. Amru tavis amar. So they said, "Whoa, that's good. That's good reasoning. Good." So liva tel ubat lua. Okay, so they repealed the ban of resting on Shabbos, so now they could rest on Shabbos. Okay. Now again, let me ask you another question. He says to the senators, the Roman senators, do you want your enemies to be healthy or weak? So Amar lo yachish. So they, what do you mean? Of course, we want our enemies to be weak. Amar lahem im ken yamolu b'neihem l'shmona yamim. So again, let me advise. Right, bris milah is very dangerous, and it weakens the individual. We've seen story upon story in Chumash where you see that. Okay, Avraham, the entire city of Shechem. Okay, it weakens them. So I'm telling you, why don't you encourage bris milah? It'll weaken the Jews. V'yachisho amr tavit amar v'alu chaz. Okay, v'alu. So therefore, they repealed that as well. Chazav amr lam mishreish lo oyev yarbe o yisma'eth. Now again, let me ask you this question: you want your enemies to multiply, or you want them not to multiply in numbers? Again, the answer is obvious. Amr lo yisma'eth. What do you mean? Of course, we want our enemies to diminish in numbers. Im kain lo yivalu nidos. So let me make the following suggestion. Rather than them being with their wives all the time, which is what you were suggesting, so why don't we just limit the amount of time they're with their wives? So in other words, let the wives go to the mikvah. That means that they're not going to be with their husbands as often. And I'm telling you, that'll diminish the Jewish population. Amru tavit amar uvit luha. So again, the Roman senators hearing this said, oh, that sounds right. Okay, good. Good. We'll do. Correct. It is a failure of understanding of how the reproductive system works, but okay. So hikiru boshu hu yudi echzirum. So, and then he was discovered. In other words, they discovered that he was a Jew and that he was he was planting ideas in their head, and so all the bans came back. Okay, so that was plan A. Plan A worked, but only temporarily. And then once he was discovered, they had to move on to plan B. Amru mi yelech v'yivatol hagzeras. So now they got to send people in on a mission, and this, of course, is an extraordinarily dangerous mission because now they're going to ask emissaries, Jewish emissaries, to go over to the Romans and basically say, "I don't know exactly what this plan was. I mean, you're going to see what's going to happen. Okay, it's going to be rather remarkable what's going to happen. But in other words, you don't get a sense right now from the way the story is starting about what the plan actually was. And you'll see as I read on the Gemara, it almost sounded like a suicide mission. Because as you'll see, this was going to be extraordinarily dangerous. You'll see what I mean. So first of all, Yelech Rav Shimon Bar Yochai Shu Maluma Ben Nissim. Okay, so the first candidate in terms of who's going to go to the Romans is the Rashbi. It's a no-brainer. I mean, who else are you going to send? And the Gemara describes him as Malumad Ben Nissim. He's miracles happen around the Rashbi, so he for sure should go. That's not even a question. Who goes with him? Now, you got to send two. You can't send one. I didn't make up the rules. Okay. So, Shuhu Maluma Ben Nissim. V'achar mi'elech, Rabbi Lazar, Rabbi Yossi, Amar Lahem. I'm sorry, Rabbi Lazar, Rabbi Yossi. So they nominated Rabbi Lazar, Rabbi Yossi. Okay. Amar Lahem, Rabbi Yossi. Now, here's dad speaking. Now, imagine, father just hears that his son was elected to go on this mission, together with the Rashbi, over to the Romans to repeal the ban. So Amar Lahem, Amar Lahem, Rabbi Yossi, V'ilah Ya'aba, Chalaf Tekayim. Now, gentlemen, if my father were alive, this is Rabbi Yossi talking, if my father, this is Rabbi Yossi Bar Chalafta, if my father was alive, so Yecholam Ata Lomar Lo Tein Ben Chala Hariga, you'd be fine telling my father, oh, go, just send your son to death. Send your son on a suicide mission. You wouldn't tell his father that, meaning my father that. So Amar Lahem Rabbi Shimon Ilaya Yochi Abai Kayam Yecholam Atam Lomar Lo Tein Ben Chala Hariga. Now the Rashbi says the same thing. Look, right? If my father were here, the Rashbi says, you'd be so comfortable telling my father to just go on such a mission. Amaluhu Rabbi Yossi Ana Azlinan. So Rabbi Yossi says, I'll go. Meaning, don't send my son, right? It's not right. I'll go. I'll go together with the Rashbi, and the two of us will go to the Romans and try to get the ban repealed. Dilma Anish Le Rabbi Shimon. Now, because I'm worried that Rabbi Shimon's going to get punished. Now, this is interesting, and Tosos fills in a lot of the details over here. Very interesting details. Tosos writes, now this Tosos you're going to find starting on the previous Amud, but it really belongs over here. Tosos writes that Rabbi Shimon
is worried that he's going to kill his son.
Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai was quick to anger. The Rashbi had a temper. Now, I'm scared even saying these things, but
he killed a couple of people.
I'm doing nothing more right now than just reporting what Tosus is writing over here. So Tosus writes that Rashbi had a temper, and correct. That's a better way to say it. So, and what I'm worried about is that that my son is very young, very impetuous, right? Take a look at the top of the next, of this Tosfos, the next onward. Mistafina shu nar umamaher la'ashiv. V'Rabbi Shimon noach lich'os. Rabbi Shimon gets angry very quickly. U'makpid b'davar mu'at. And anything will set him off. K'shehei ma'achim b'derech, while they're walking. And so Rabbi Yossi says, it's not good to send my son because I know my son, and I know my son will offend and really upset Rashbi, and the Rashbi will curse my son. I know this won't end up well. Okay. Everyone following the story so far. This is an amazing story. Yeah. So Amalem Rashbi Ilah Yayok. I'm sorry. It goes back to the Gemara. So Amal. So Ana Aslin and Dilma Anishle Rabbi Shimon. Dikamastafina. Kabel Alei Delala Anche. So when the Rashbi says, "Look, send your son with me," right? He says to Rabbi Yossi, "I want your son, Rabbi Lazar, Rabbi Yossi, to come with me, and I promise," says the Rashbi, "that I will not curse him." Amazing. Meaning, they're on a mission to go to the Romans to try to not save the Jews, but repeal these bans of the Romans. And this is their concern, and you'll see that the concern was going to be validated in just a moment. And even though the Rashbi took it upon himself that he will not curse Rabbi Lazar, Rabbi Shimon, the Gemara reports he did. That while they were walking, he ended up cursing Rabbi Lazar, Rabbi Shimon, and the Gemara tells us the story. Nishala shelo zubif nemi nine ladam asher shu tami. Now while walking over to Rome, so what are they going to do? Obviously, they're going to talk in Torah, and the conversation turned to how do I know that dam sheretz gives off tuma? So ikem piv. So Rebbe Lazar was ma'akem piv. Ma'akem piv is an expression. Literally, it means he turns his mouth. He like bends his mouth. It doesn't translate well in English. It means he was quick. It was quick to answer. And he says, "Ikem piv Rav Lazar Rav Yosef Amar v'zelachem atamei." And he says, "What do you mean?" And he quotes the drasha, meaning the drasha that was quoted by the Rashbi on the previous amud. But over here, Rav Lazar Rabbi Shimon says, "Oh, look, I got a drasha." So Amar le Rabbi Shimon, "Me'akimus v'secha atanikar shetam chachamata." So the Rashbi says to Rav Lazar Rabbi Yosef, "Look, I get it. You're a Talmud Chacham, but Al Yachzor HaBen Eitzel Aviv. But you were quick. You were apparently. In other words, I mentioned this a number of times when we go through the Gemara, especially with these Agaditas. You don't get the tone of how the exchange went between the Rashbi and Rabbi Lazar Rabbi Yosi, and apparently there must have been some sort of tone, or just the way that it was said over. I'm not really sure." But it was something impetuous about the way Rebbe Lazar Rebbe Yossi said it. And so Rebbe Shimon Bar Yochai cursed Rebbe Lazar Rebbe Yossi. And he says, "Al yachzor haben etzel aviv." The son should not return back to the father. Yeah. Again, it's amazing. It's just an amazing piece of agadita, especially when you consider that Rebbe Yossi predicted this was going to happen. Right? Rebbe Shimon Bar Yochai guaranteed the safety of the child. And despite all that, it happened. Now, there is a Tosfos. I'm going to just report one more Tosfos to you. Ayachzor HaBen Eitzel Aviv, B'Yerushalmi Mefarsh. Now, Tosfos quotes the Gemara Yerushalmi, who has more comment on the story, and says, She'achzasu Askara, that when the Rashbi cursed Rebbe Lazar Rebbe Yossi, so he started choking. In other words, he couldn't breathe. U'kishenizka Rebbe Shimon, Al Shehisna, La'ashiva Al-Aviv. Now, then when he remembered, oh my gosh, I promised I'd return him to his father. Chazav in his power, Allah in his rafe. So then the Rashbi prayed on behalf of Rebbe Lazar Rebbe Yossi, and Rebbe Lazar Rebbe Yossi did not, in fact, die. I like that ending of the story, although the story in its entirety is still, you know, a mystery. Anytime we have Rashbi discussion, it becomes mysterious. And the best of the story is yet to come. Can you imagine? Okay, now, they're still heading up to Rome, and now they're met by we'll call him a demon. Okay, a shade. Now, the Gemara doesn't use that language. The Gemara refers to him as Ben Tamalion. Now, again, I go back to Tosfos, and I quote Tosfos again, and Tosfos says, Oso hu shekorin. Tosfos actually gives him a name, this demon. Ukamotinok katanhu virago ben hanashim leislotzeitz bahem. He is a childlike demon, writes Tosfos, who hangs out with women. Okay. So, and he says, the demon, Ritzonchem avoim achem. Guys, can I help you out? Like, let me go with you. I'll join you. We'll go to Rome together and I'll help you out. So, Bacha Rabbi Shimon Va'amar. So, Rabbi Shimon could not believe that this is now what's going to help him in terms of trying to repeal the Roman ban. Mashiv Choshal Beis Abba Nizdabin La Malach Shalosh Pamim. Now, you go back to my patriarch, Avram Avinu. Now, he had a Shivcha, and the Shivcha was met by an angel, but not just one angel, but three separate angels. So in other words, you're looking at the Shivcha of Avram Avinu, and she gets met by Malachim. And look what I get. I get a shade that really looks like a child, who hangs out with, in other words, this is what I get? I can't believe it. I don't get visited by Malach, not even one time. This is what I get. So Yavo Hanes Mikomakom. But beggars can't be choosers. This is what I get. Fine. So he said, I'll take it. So he says to Ben Tamalion, you'll come with me. Kadem who? Al Bivarte de Kesar. So now what this demon does is this demon possesses the body of the daughter of Caesar. So in other words, he runs up ahead, he goes into Rome, and he possesses the body of the daughter of the Caesar. So now, when Rashbi goes up to Rome, so the first thing he does is an exorcism. I cannot believe I'm saying these things, but this is what the Gemara is telling us. So he exorcises the demon out of the daughter of Caesar. They came into Karole Nafak. Now he calls him out, and he gets him out of the daughter. He exorcises the demon. So now the Caesar is indebted to the Rashbi, because the Rashbi saved his daughter's life. So now with this state now they're in, so the Rashbi finds himself now in Rome in front of the Caesar, and the Caesar now owes him a big one. And so the Caesar says, go into my treasury, take whatever you want. So they go into the treasury and they find the ban, the letter that actually states the ban. Shakluhu, they took it. Karu, they tore it up. And now that you know the story in Me'ilah, now you go back to Yuma, and now you'll understand a line in Yuma. Because the Gemara in Yuma told us that Rav Elazar, Rav Yossi, they were having an argument about when you sprinkle the blood in the Kodesh HaKadoshim on Yom Kippur. Does it actually need to hit the paroches, or is it just simply in front of the paroches? And they were having a big debate. And Rav Elazar, Rav Yossi says, gentlemen, I was in Rome. I saw the paroches. There were actually spots of blood on the paroches. So I'm telling you that I'm right, meaning, we talk about this all the time, meaning, how can we have a machlokas? I saw it. But now you understand, now that you know this story, now you're going to go back to Yuma, which we'll get to in just a short couple of years from now. Yeah. So, right, we're going to get back to Yuma, and now you're going to remember, oh yeah, what was Rav Elazar Rav Yossi doing in Rome? Oh, he accompanied the Rashbi. And by the way, now you understand that Yerushalmi is right. Meaning, even though the Rashbi said the son does not go back to the father, and even though Rav Elazar Rav Yossi nearly died, but he obviously returned from the trip, otherwise how could he be reporting it? So now you hear Tosos well that he actually did return.
No, there was no other blood when they.
Right. In other words, it's not absolute proof. I agree with you. It's not. But in other words, at least you understand how he can report it.
Yeah.
Okay. All right, we'll stop over here. We got a little bit. We have a couple more Mishnayos to go to finish up the fourth parak. We'll finish them out tomorrow morning, and we will continue along these lines tomorrow morning. Finish the fourth parak and start the fifth parak of Me'ilah. Nijat Meir Ben Mashallah. So for Ilu Nishma, today's Yotzei? Okay. So Neshama Shav, a continued Aliyah, and a Refuah Shleima for Rafa Zaka Avram Ben Yakira Avigail.